You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Great Expectations. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
If anyone says to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe him, Jesus said, for false prophets and false Christs will arise, and they will perform signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. No one, not even deists or atheists, will argue with these words of Jesus. You see, in every generation, and especially in our day, there are many who would like to be considered a Messiah. 2 years ago, major U.S. magazines and newspapers carried stories of a man in New York who many considered to be the Messiah. The April 27, 1992 issue of Newsweek magazine told about a New York woman who sponsored a dinner for over 3,000 people. At this feast, this woman urged all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, to accept a New York religious leader as the Messiah sent from God. There is the old saying, isn't there? You can't tell the players without a scorecard. And this is certainly true when it comes to sorting it out. All of the pseudo-messiahs and all of the false prophets and all those who are now trying to claim the title of Messiah. And so then, where do we start? Where and how do we begin sorting all these things out? The answer is simple. We begin with the Bible. In the Bible, we read that immediately after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, his disciples began proclaiming that he, Jesus, was the true Messiah, the Messiah long promised by God. But of course, at least some who heard this preaching, they surely must have thought, where have we heard this before? There were so many in Jesus' day, you see, who claimed to be the Messiah. And, of course, these people were at least partially correct. With all the claims, there was certainly confusion, and in addition to their skepticism, there were also bitter enemies of the apostles and the early disciples. These enemies of the gospel did everything they could, and they tried every trick in the book to discredit the Lord Jesus and to claim that Jesus was not the Messiah. For this reason, the apostles and those early disciples of Christ almost always began their sermons by pointing out emphatically from the scriptures and demonstrating that Jesus was no fly-by-night, self-appointed religious cult leader. Jesus was unique indeed. He was totally different from all other self-appointed messiahs. As the prophets had repeatedly foretold, Jesus was sent by God, and Jesus was the complete and perfect fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. This was the approach used by the early Christians as they proclaimed in a powerful way the gospel. For example, just before being stoned to death, Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith, provided irrefutable arguments to those who were about to murder him. Stephen proclaimed that the Old Testament prophets had announced the coming of the righteous one. And in Acts chapter 10, we read about the preaching of the apostle Peter. Peter also spoke powerfully about Jesus as the fulfillment of the long-awaited Messiah. In referring to Jesus, Peter said, "Of him all the prophets bear witness." In Acts chapter 9, we read that immediately after St. Paul was converted to the faith, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "Jesus is the Son of God." We also read in the same chapter of Acts that this same Saul, later named Paul, kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. In Acts, we read again that when Paul and Barnabas came to Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews and spoke in such a manner that a great multitude believed, both Jews and Greeks. This firm conviction that Jesus was indeed the perfect and complete fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies of the coming Messiah is not limited to the preaching of the early church. For example, in the next few weeks, as part of their worship services, many churches all across the United States and Canada will be conducting special Christmas programs. And at the center of these uplifting programs of music and celebration will be recitations done by little children. These little blessings of God, some only 4 years of age or even younger, will go to the front of the church and repeat publicly memorized sections of the Old Testament, beautiful sections of prophecy regarding the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. These special verses of the Holy Scripture will be expressions of prophecy originally given long, long ago, even centuries before Jesus was born. What an impact these special Spirit-inspired words uttered by the lips of the little children will surely have upon thousands and maybe even millions of adults. The message will be clear. Jesus was no Johnny-come-lately self-appointed religious guru. Jesus was indeed the perfect and complete fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecy. Biblical scholars refer regularly to the several hundred prophecies in the Old Testament foretelling the birth, the life, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And some of these prophecies, which will be spoken by many children during these weeks, are stunningly direct and amazingly accurate. For example, speaking over 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah wrote, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the clans of Judah, yet from you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Amazing. Yes, absolutely amazing. Here the prophet Micah is not only foretelling that Jesus would be born, Micah even states specifically where this Savior would be born, in Bethlehem of Judah. The prophet Zechariah foretold Jesus' Palm Sunday ride into Jerusalem when he wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Isaiah the prophet also foretold the sufferings of Christ when he wrote, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet Jesus did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth." The prophet Isaiah writes, "Our griefs Christ himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." The psalmist also foretold how the Roman soldiers under the crucifixion cross would divide the garment of Jesus. "They divide my garment among them," the psalmist writes, "and for my clothing they cast lots." In Psalm chapter 34 we read, "He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken." Oh, isn't this truly amazing, absolutely divine, and most certainly God-given? Hundreds of years before Jesus was crucified, the psalmist foretold that not one of Jesus' bones would be broken. And then in the Gospel of John we read that after Jesus had been crucified between two criminals, the soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." Isn't it amazing to learn that after hundreds of prophecies and fulfillments of these prophecies, that there are still those who try in vain to discredit Jesus and to say that he was not the promised Messiah? Maclean's Magazine of Canada on August 31, 1992, carried an article about the owner of a truck stop along the highway in Israel between Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. For entertainment, this restaurant owner and his wife often dressed up like Elvis Presley and his wife Priscilla. These Elvis impersonators said, If Elvis had come 2,000 years ago, he would have started the new religion. Of course, this man was referring to Jesus, and this ridiculous, blasphemous statement is a direct slam against the Christian faith. This implies that Jesus was no more than a popular personality for the local people, and that by popular acclaim, Jesus was transformed from a common person into a Messiah. Jesus was no self-made Messiah. Jesus was and continues to be a God-sent Redeemer. The pages of the Old Testament repeatedly foretell Jesus' birth, and these prophets also graphically foretell his innocent, bloody, and cruel death on the crucifixion cross. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem is important. In fact, it is very important. But the Savior's death is critical, and his resurrection is absolutely indispensable. Without our Savior's death and resurrection, you and I, my friend, would have no hope. The Apostle Paul writes that Jesus was delivered up to the cross for our sins and transgressions, and then he was raised again from the dead for our justification. And so as you seek the true joy of Christmas, rest your eyes not only upon the baby Jesus in the cradle in Bethlehem. Look beyond, and let your eyes gaze outside past the stable, and focus on the salvation cross of Calvary. For it was on that cross that Jesus died for your sins, and it is through the power of that cross that you and I can now possess an eternal hope. These are the final days leading up to the celebration of Christmas 1994, and the excitement of your Christmas Eve or Christmas Day celebration may certainly be intense and even emotionally exhilarating. However, like a Roman candle, this spark and glitter may soon also be short-lived, simply because it might be primarily secular. The Christmas that God is offering you, on the other hand, is just the opposite. The joy of Christmas Eve and the celebration of Christmas Day knows no end. If your Christmas 1994 is truly a duplication in spirit of the first Christmas in Bethlehem, then you will also hear the Christmas angel's important announcement about the newborn baby. His name, the angel said, shall be called Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. This great news was and still is the most important prophecy ever given in the history of the world. Now imagine for a moment if all credit card companies were to announce on a nationwide television broadcast that on Christmas Eve they would forgive all financial debts of all people who have charged on their credit cards. With the extremely heavy credit card debt in our present population, you can be sure that there would be great celebration as a result of this across-the-board financial forgiveness. There is also another debt that is hanging heavily over the homes of many in our nation. This is the debt of guilt over failed marriages and the debt of responsibility of deep divisions between parents and children. If these sin debts are now dividing you and your family, then let God's Christmas announcement of the forgiveness of this debt in Jesus Christ give you the greatest Christmas in your whole life. You and your family can start over. Your credit card of life in God's sight has now been wiped clean. And for you, this Christmas can surely be a new beginning. The forgiveness of all your past failures is now available and truly possible in the long foretold birth, death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. An angel sent by God has made God's intention for you very, very clear. This Jesus, born at Christmas, was to receive no other name than the name of Jesus. This Jesus was born to save you from the endless agony and the eternal condemnation of your own failures. There has been born for you, my friend, in Bethlehem, a long-promised Messiah, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In a few days it will all happen. Christmas will be here, and great celebrations will certainly follow. Most of your family will most likely be looking for a gift from you. Surprise them, however, and give them the greatest gift of all. Give them God's gift of forgiveness and love through you. When Christmas morning arrives, with a smile on your face and joy in your heart, then tell your family and your friends, this is the day that Jesus was born, and this Jesus is the greatest Christmas gift any of us could ever receive. This Jesus is our Savior, The prophets of old foretold that this Jesus would be born, that he would die on the cross, and that he would save us from our sins. And then, my friend, let your family also know that in Christ, God has given each of you great hope. Even though the months ahead are quite uncertain, in Christ there is still reason to look up and to be happy. And this is something that no one can ever change. Oh, have a blessed last few days of Advent. Prepare now to let the Christ child be born in your heart through faith. And then don't delay. By your words and your actions, let the forgiveness of God flow through you into the lives of others, beginning with the members of your family. God bless you, and Merry Christmas. In Jesus, you have the forgiveness of your sins and an eternal hope. The angel said his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save you from your sins. Merry Christmas. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.